not sure, but I'm not going to preach that sermon tonight. Instead, in the meantime, I finished another sermon, and I'm excited about this sermon, and I want to preach this sermon tonight. It's got an exciting message. It's got an exciting title. The title of the lesson is God's Vision. God's Vision 2020, microscopic, telescopic, and X-ray. How's that for a title? Also, I don't know if I should say on a more serious note. I've noticed in the last several days, my concentration has not been good, and I know it's because my mother's progress is actually not moving forward, it's moving backwards. Evidently, the stroke, and it was very, very deep, evidently it has damaged some things that are just not going to come back. And it also has accelerated her dementia. I'm sure those of you who visit with her often realize she's much, much more agitated. I would say mean, but she's my mother. I can't say that. It's not her. It's the dementia complicated by the stroke. But I pray that you will remember her fervently in your prayers. The end of this month, we were going to be moving her to Trinity Shores. That still is plan A, but I'm not sure she's going to qualify to go there. Don't have a plan B right now, but we will certainly work it out. All things work together for good to those that love God. But please remember my mother in your prayers. I noticed in my Bible class, I was not remembering my thoughts very well. I feel quite sure in my lesson today, I will not be remembering my thoughts very well. I don't really ask you to pray for me. Please pray for my mother. From time to time, we need to study what I call basic Christianity. In times past, I've heard it referred to as rudimentary Christianity. I don't like that terminology. I don't use it. I've heard it referred to as Christianity 101. You know, if you had a chance to go to college, let's say you had to take 6 English classes, the very first one is English 101. So that's what we mean, rudimentary, basic Christianity, Christianity 101. And I think all of us as Christians realize it is essential that we lay the proper foundation. You can't build a strong house on an improper foundation. So we as individuals need to make sure that we build that proper foundation. And these rudiments, this basic information, is the building block for our faith. Now, maybe you were like me. I grew up in the church. I've heard this type of sermon all of my life. But I have noticed I and others don't seem to preach these basic sermons nearly as much as we used to. And maybe you didn't grow up in the church. Maybe you didn't grow up religious at all. Maybe you didn't have an opportunity to hear these basic Christian tenets. Well, you will today. Because today I want to present a lesson on Jesus' promise, I will build my church. You know, as we study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what we call the gospel, the story, the physical story of Jesus, we learn a lot about him. And when we couple that study with a study of the book of Acts, we learn even more about him. And when we read the epistles by Paul and Peter and James and Jude, and if I left anyone out, when we read those epistles, we learn even more about him. There's a lot that we know about Jesus. We learn a lot of physical facts. Where was Jesus born? Well, the Bible says in Matthew 2:1, he was born in Bethlehem. Who were his parents? Well, according to the Bible, Luke 2, verse 16, it was Mary and Joseph. Where were some of the towns that he visited? Well, there was Nazareth and Galilee, not a town, but there was Jerusalem and Bethany and Capernaum. We learn a lot of those physical things. Well, what were some of the things that Jesus said? He said, I'm the light of the world. I'm the bread of life. I'm the good shepherd. But we also learn a great deal about Jesus' personality. He was compassionate. Matthew 9, verse 36. He was good. Acts 10, verse 48. He was considerate. He was loving. He was kind. Now stay with me. There are a lot of things about Jesus we know. But there are a lot of things about Jesus we don't know. We don't know why he suffered unjustly during his life, but we know that he did. We don't know why, but he did. We don't know why his blood, his death was required for our salvation. We know that it was, but we really don't know why. But it's kind of like electricity. Someone said one time concerning electricity, we don't know exactly how electricity works, but that should not keep us from taking advantage of it. We might not know why a lot of things about Jesus, but just because we don't know why doesn't mean we shouldn't take advantage of it. Now, I know for a fact some of you are already planning on having your Bible open, and when I come back to the back after the sermon, you're going to be ready for me. We know why he died on the cross. He died to secure our salvation. Yes. But an all-powerful God could have chosen a different way to secure our salvation. He chose Jesus' death on the cross, but he didn't tell us why. He could have chosen a different way. Jesus asked him to choose a different way. God chose the cross. He chose Jesus' death. He chose the shedding of his blood to secure our salvation. Our salvation needed Jesus to die on the cross. We don't know why, but it's true. It needed his shed blood. So just because we don't know why God chose Jesus' death and burial and resurrection, just because we don't know why, that doesn't mean we can't take advantage of it. Now we're going to use that as our introduction. Now we're going to introduce our text. The passage I want to use as our text should be one of the most familiar, famous, and popular things that Jesus ever said in an incident that we should all appreciate. But brethren, in my humble opinion, there are so many people that miss the real meaning of this context that it almost seems like it's ignored. Now, in the text, Jesus asks what could be a relatively simple question. Who am I? Using the New King James, whom do men say that I am? Now, on the surface, if we just assume that that is a simple question, the apostles, we could give a simple answer. Jesus said, who am I? You're Jesus. That's your name. Jesus of Galilee. That's your description. Jesus, son of the carpenter. He was referred to as that. Jesus, son of Mary and Joseph. Jesus, a rabbi. Jesus, a teacher. If Jesus' question was simple, we could answer it in a simple way. But Jesus' question wasn't simple. In fact, in our reading, we're going to see that Jesus says that Peter, of his own physical thinking, would not at this time be able to figure out the answer. God gave him the answer. Jesus says to them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. He didn't think it up himself, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now I stated a few times in our introduction, there are some things we just do not know. There are some things that it's not necessary for us to know. The things that are necessary are given to us in God's word. But even the apostles, at least at this particular time, didn't know everything about Jesus. They were starting to formulate their understanding, but at this time, they didn't know everything about Jesus. And that's why Jesus says, without God's help, Peter would not have been able to figure this out. So the apostles had a long way to go, yes. They were getting there, yes. They were formulating the truth that Peter gave. They were formulating what Jesus had already said. He is the only begotten Son of God, John 3:16. But let's look at what Jesus said. Let's look at what Jesus said. I will build my church. You know, over the years, a lot of us, and I struggle with the terminology here. Over the years, a lot of us have gotten lazy. Used to, when someone would say something like, "Where's your church?" we would quickly say, "It's not my church. Jesus' church. It's not our church. We didn't die to build the church." So we were always quick to answer. But brethren, we would be right in that answer because we didn't build the church. Now stay with me. But we can refer to the church correctly and still miss Jesus' teaching. We can refer to the church as the Bible says we should refer to the church, and we could still miss Jesus' teaching. When Jesus said, "I will build my church," he was not teaching us correct terminology. When Jesus said, "I will build my church," he was teaching us spiritual reality. So Jesus said, "I will build my church," because the church is based on his identity. The church is based on him. The church is based on the profession of faith that Peter gave, that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed of God. He is the Son of God, the Son of the Most High. He is the Son of God prophesied throughout the Old Testament. That's who he is. And that's the foundation of the church. He was not going to build a church on Peter. He was going to build a church on the profession, the God-given profession that Peter made. That response being, "Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of God." It was upon that fact that Jesus promised to build his church. The church is built upon the bedrock of the confession that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. In fact, that bedrock confession has been made by every Christian since the church came into being. It was made by the Ethiopian nobleman in Acts chapter 8. It was made by Peter when he reached Damascus that he would later write about to the Romans in Romans 10 and verse 10, "With the mouth confession is made unto salvation." The confession Peter made in Acts 16 is the same confession every one of us must make. The church is what it is because Jesus is who he is. We are the church, not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is. If Jesus is not the Christ, if Jesus is not the Son of God, then Christianity is the biggest hoax in the history of the world. And you and I are the biggest fools. But Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. On the day of Pentecost, he was acknowledged to be both Lord and Christ. So when Jesus said, "I will build my church," he said it because the church exists to do his will. It's His church. And we exist to do His will. Brethren, Christ did not build the church so that you and I can make decisions of our own. Jesus did not die on the cross so that you and I can determine our own path to heaven, or our own path to life, or our own existence. Jesus built the church so that we would comply with His teaching. He said, if you love me, do what I tell you to do. Brethren, that's our function, to do the will of Jesus Christ. Everything that we do as members of the body of Christ, we do with the authority of Jesus Christ. And that's why He said, all authority has been given unto Him, not me and you. It was given to Him. Therefore, as Paul says in Ephesians 5:17, we must understand what the will of the Lord is. Peter says we no longer live under the will of the lust of the flesh. We live under the will of God, 1 Peter 4, verse 2. In other words, His teaching is our teaching. And if we're not teaching what He taught, we're wrong. His mission is our mission. If our mission is not what His mission was, we're wrong. Our business is His business. And if our business is not what His business was, then we are wrong. It is simply not our choice to change the church to suit ourselves. And yet many people feel that must be their privilege, because they've done it in our brotherhood. They've done it in Christianity all over the world. Jesus also said, I will build my church, because the church was brought into being by His power and sacrifice. Upon this rock I will build my church, even to the extent that death cannot prevail against the church. Brethren, listen, 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 listen. I hope I said that enough times. Please listen. As long as the church holds on to His profession, our profession of faith, we are invincible. As long as we do what He tells us to do, because we love Him, we are invincible. If death could not keep Jesus from establishing the church, then death cannot destroy the church He established. If death could not keep Jesus from finishing His mission, then death is not going to keep us from finishing His mission either. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead gives us the ability to do what God wants us to do. And again, simply, always remember, it is God that causes church growth. I hate to sound so negative this morning, but it irritates me, to say the least, to hear these preachers talk about, oh, we had 100 baptisms last year. Look at how great I am. Or I went and held a gospel meeting and we had 12 baptisms. Look how great I am. Brethren, the power of the gospel is not in the preacher's ability to talk. It's in the gospel. And that's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He didn't say, I'm not ashamed of my ability to preach. He said, I'm not ashamed of what I preach, the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is always God that causes growth. We can plant and we can water, and that's what we do to the very best of our ability. But if there's any increase, God gives the increase. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7. We're not going to grow. Well, we might grow, but we're not growing into His to be His church if we're following man's formula. We might grow something, but unless we're using the New Testament example of the New Testament church, we're not going to be what God wants us to be. God gave us directions. He gave us His book. That's what He wants us to follow. We might grow something, but it's not going to be the New Testament church. I hesitate using this example because our congregation has been touched so much by cancer, but cancer cells grow faster than healthy cells. That's why it might kill us. Weeds grow faster than grass. That's why a lot of times we mow weeds instead of mowing grass. We might grow fast not preaching the gospel, but it is the gospel that is God's power to save. In fact, concerning life, it's God's way or it's wrong. Concerning doctrine, it's God's way or it's wrong. Concerning Christianity, it's God's way or it's wrong. Brethren, we don't make growth happen. We just hang on for dear life. We do what we can do. We plant, we water, we encourage, we warn. Because as Paul said, the time is coming and the time has come when people under the guise of Christianity no longer believe sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned to fables. The Bible says we are to grow. We're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says we are to grow. We're to demand the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. The church, Christ's church, lives and works and grows by his power. He said, I will build my church. It's based on his identity, not ours. His identity. It functions to do his will, not ours. His will. And the same power that was used in the resurrection will be used to help us maintain his church. That, my friend, is why he called the church my church. It's his church. And if you have never affiliated yourself with his church, you need to. You know, we're a friendly, warm, caring group. But if we're not the church described in the New Testament, visitors, you need to go find that church. But I will assure you, we are. We speak where the Bible speaks. We remain silent where the Bible is silent. But we're not going to preach a watered-down gospel just for the sake of filling this building. We're going to preach the true gospel because we want to go to heaven. Period. Paragraph. And there's only one way to get to heaven. Jesus said it's through him. We can find from Jesus' own words where Jesus talked about hearing. Blessed are those that hear these sayings of mine and do them. I'll liken him to a wise man. We can find where Jesus says, except we repent, we will all likewise perish. Where Jesus says, if you will confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Where Jesus says, be baptized. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then Jesus said, be faithful. Be faithful for the rest of our lives. And then he will give us that crown of everlasting life. My friend, if you've never rendered obedience to Jesus, you need to this very day. Don't leave this building without having Jesus' blood wash your sins away. And if there is anything that a member of the body of Christ, if there's anything we are doing that stands between us and eternity, we need to stop. And we need to ask God to forgive us. And if we need the prayers of this congregation for strength, encouragement, or forgiveness, the invitation is for us also. Colton, if you'll get the lights. The song is number 753. We'll sing all three verses. If you need to come to Jesus, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?